The sermon is called Keep On Casting. Keep on casting.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Father, this morning, thank you as we get ready to dig into your Word. I'm going to ask, Father, that you would just pour out your anointing and pour out your Spirit as we dig into this, Lord, because this is your heart this morning for us as your people. And Lord, you have been instructing us in the ways of righteousness, and we want to continue that here at this body of Christ. And I'll thank you for it, Lord, and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Lord has been dealing with us, as I said, over the past couple months here at the beginning of this year, as far as being the people of God and how God expects us to act as His people and what our attitude should be and our humility should be and our trust should be. And I think last week or so we talked about our words. How many of you have been watching your words? One, two. Remember, we can hear the Word of God, but God says that we ought to be doers of the Word instead of hearers only. So we go out of the sanctuary and we say, man, that really stepped on my toes. I need some steel-toed boots. I need that. But then we don't change. God is asking us to be doers of the Word. Watch the words. Today I want to be speaking about a subject that the Lord just really grabbed my heart with. And it is going to go along with this because God has been talking to us about how He wants our hearts to be and what our attitude should be in life. And so this morning, would you go with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, how many of you ever read through the book of Ecclesiastes? All right, in the book of Ecclesiastes, this was Solomon that was writing this. And how many of you know that Solomon wasn't always a good guy? Now, it's quite interesting here in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon, let me just give you a little bit of background on Solomon. When he first comes as being put into the throne, he was what most scholars believe somewhere around the age of between 17 and 19 years old. How many of you like to become a king over a nation at that age? Some of us said at 18, we can't even rule over ourselves, okay? Although some of us think that we can, at 18 we know everything. Did anybody know everything at 18? One did, back in the back, yeah. We thought we did, okay? Solomon comes in as being king, and I think he's a little bit nervous about this, and so he's asking God, and we hear that passage where he says, God says to him in a dream, what do you want? And he says, well, I want wisdom. Why? Because he's young and he needs to know how to rule this great nation coming from his father David, who was great at his job. And now Solomon says, I need that wisdom. And so in the book of Proverbs, we read a lot of the wisdom that God gave Solomon. And he was a young man and he gave that. But then throughout the course of his life, how many of you know he got involved with things that he shouldn't be? Namely, he got involved with women. And he had 700 wives, 300 concubines. Lance is saying, ooh, bad deal. Bad deal, right? Either way you go, it's a bad deal in that. But then he adds to that because his wives led him into idolatry. And because he wanted to please them, he enters in there. And so for a good majority of his life, he is away from God, worshiping idols and money and everything. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, when you read through there, by the time you get up to chapter 11, you're depressed. Anybody know what I'm talking about if you've read through the book of Ecclesiastes? Because basically what he says is that everything is vanity. There's nothing in life that is worth anything. I've tried women, I've tried money, I've tried things, I've had the best of everything, I've had all kinds of things. Nothing is worth it. And he comes to that as vanity. And so I remember when I was first reading through that, I'm like, man, is this depressing as a young man. This is depressing. But then, as he begins to close out the book of Ecclesiastes, we come to chapter 11. In chapter 11, here is what he says. I'm going to read the very first six verses as what is going to be the text for today's message and probably next week's. Cast your bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, also to eight, for you knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree fell, there it will be. He that observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regards the cloud shall not reap. As you knowest not what is the way of the spirit, or how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so you know not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow your seed, in the evening withhold not your hand, for you knoweth not whether it shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they shall both be alike or good. Lord, would you bless that word today as we get into this? I want to key in on this verse number one. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Today's sermon, I'm actually going to call part one because I know I'm not going to get through this, Joyce. Okay? There's lots in this six verses. And I want to talk about this because in this verse one, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. The sermon is called Keep On Casting. Keep on casting. And this reminds me of a song way back when I was just a young man, and we lived up in a place called Lowerboro, Pennsylvania, just outside of Pittsburgh, about 20 miles. And there was a group that came to our school and to a church. The group's name was the Chords. And I never forget, how many of you can remember songs when you were like 13, 14 years old? I mean, they just pop into your brain. It's just those kinds of songs. But this group sang a song, said, you gotta keep on casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's gonna come back home on every wave. Right? Anybody ever heard that song before? All right. Good. You actually heard it, Dee? All right. Here, I thought I was pretty old, right? Come to that song. Keep on casting your bread upon the water. You know, we have these catchy little tunes, and then we hear things like that. But how many of us sometimes not a clue what the scripture's saying? We just like to sing it, or we just like to say it. I want to talk about that because keep on casting in this couple weeks that I want to share. I want to know what it is that Solomon is actually talking about here. Okay? Because in this verse, is he talking about taking a loaf of bread and going out to the lake or going out to the ocean and ripping it apart and throwing it into the lake? Is that what he is talking about? Because really, how futile would this be? If you cast that bread, literal bread, upon the water, what's going to happen to it? It's going to split apart and the fish are going to come up and get that bread. Is that bread going to come back to you? It is not. So we know that it cannot be a literal meaning of what Solomon is talking about here. Okay? Casting bread upon the water. So what does it mean? It's a metaphor that Solomon is using and he's trying to get the attention of his readers and what he is talking about. Remember, he has spent most of his life gaining things and trying to get stuff that will fulfill him. But in these last couple chapters, he comes down to what is important in life. And this is what we're going to be talking about. Now, some translations, and again, there are some translations that are out there in the scriptures that I don't think are good translations. And one of them is, and it actually says, ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you may receive a return. Okay? Now, that's the NIV version, and I don't like that translation. And some of you may know that there are several things in that translation that I'm not real thrilled about, but this particular one, ship your grain across the sea and you may receive it. And another translation says, put your money into trade across the ocean. After a while, you will earn something for it. Now, those are literal translations that have been made of this verse. Now, the problem with those translations is they almost give you the idea that this is a businessman that is saying, if you will do this, and you will put your monies into trade and ship them across the sea, then you will get a return for that. The problem is with this, remember, Solomon was a man that had everything. And what did he say of having money and gaining money? It was what? Vanity. It was useless. If that's the only thing that you're after is to make money. So this whole idea, and I've heard ministers preach it this way, and especially those that were into financial gain say, well, here's what you need to do. You need to invest your money internationally because this is what the scriptures say, and you need to get it across the water into other markets, and then God will bless you with income. That is not what Solomon is talking about here, okay? So if you have ever heard that, I want to bring this and reel this back in, that that is not what he has in mind here. He is talking about something that is totally different. The word casting here in the Hebrew means that you are to send away from you or throw out. Okay, throwing it out as if a farmer is casting seed. He is throwing the seed out. Your bread, the word bread there actually means your resources. That which you partake of, whether it's your money, whether it's your food, whether it's your time. Basically, what this means is that he is telling us to take that which we have, our resources, and put them out there. Put them out there on the waters. Now, the waters is actually an interesting word there because putting them out there onto the waters means that we are going to take them and put them out there around those that are in our lives. Okay? Everybody get a good picture now of what he is talking about. Taking our resources and putting those resources out there for others that are around us and in our lives. Interesting thing. Why would Solomon be talking about this? Because he makes a statement right here, for you will find it after many days. Now that, how many of you think that goes right along with your flesh man and you want to cast and give away all of your resources? How many of you that goes right along with your flesh man? Because your flesh man says what? That's mine. It's mine. I worked for it. I'm holding it, and it's mine. And the Lord has been really dealing with us about this, and Solomon talks about this in a great way because he basically is telling us that there's only one thing at the end that's worth it. And I want you to go here, look at the very next chapter, chapter 12. And I love this because I think Solomon, after all is said and done, Look at chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of man. Here's a man that had everything, Lance. He found out that nothing that he had was worth anything except for this faith in God, this fear in God. The whole matter is this: keep the commandments of God and fear Him, for God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So, let's look at this. That's the heart of why He's telling us these things. Because He wants us to invest, not for gain. But look at this. Another one says, invest your resources in acts of charity and kindness. How many of us are investing our resources in acts of kindness and charity towards others? See, this is what Solomon is trying to bring out here. When he says, you got to keep on casting, he is saying, you don't just give once and say, well, you know, God should be happy with that. Janet, I'm just going to give you one time. One time. But what if Janet has need a second time? Nope. One time. Keep on casting your bread upon the water, your resources, because they're going to come back to you. This is the promise of God. It is what is called the sowing and reaping principle with the Scriptures. And God has been very clear about that to all of us, and that these resources that He has given us stewardship over, they are for us to be able to give out, folks. Casting means that you're giving out. Very important that this promise that you find, it will come back to you in many days. Now here's the problem. People that teach the sowing and reaping principle, what they're teaching is if you give $100 today, tomorrow God is going to bless you with $100,000. How many of you heard that on TV somewhere? He's going to bless you tenfold. He's going to take care of that. You're going to have millions of dollars in the bank by the end of the year. That is not what Solomon says here. He says, keep casting your resources, keep giving them out in acts of kindness, in acts of charity, and then in many days, it will come back to you. It is the sowing and reaping principle. If I gave one time and one time only, there is a reaping that is coming. But once I get that reaping, do I have any more coming? Why? Because I stopped my sowing, Lee. And I stopped giving. I stopped putting it out there. I stopped casting it out there. And then I wonder why I have no more blessings that are coming my direction. You see, the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul, very clear about this as well. Join with me over here, Romans chapter 12. And we're going to see, and by the way, you can hold your finger in there to Ecclesiastes if you want. We may come back there, but Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, and given to hospitality. Now, when Paul says, given to hospitality, that does not mean one time you do it. Janet, aren't you glad? It means I'm given to it. My life should be dedicated to it and giving out of what I have been blessed with. Constantly, on a daily basis, giving out what God has blessed me with. It is so important for us to get a hold of that. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it might be given unto you. What? Did I mess that up? Give, and it shall be given to you. How much? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. Remember, for with what measure you give out, it will be measured back to you again. So, some people say to me, people don't like me. They treat me terribly. I have to wonder, how are you treating people? Well, I never get anything. No one ever gives me gifts. Do you ever give anybody gifts? Well, no one ever shows mercy on me. Do you show mercy on them? Because you have to remember, for with what measure you give out, it will be given back to you again. And Solomon is going back to this. One more scripture, Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I sent and that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing that I said. So if God's word tells us this, is it going to happen? That was a little weak. Is it going to happen? If I cast my bread upon the waters, soon, in many days, it will return unto me. All right, now go back there again. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 2. And now you can see why I probably am not going to get done with these six verses here. Look at this. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for you knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Sometimes this is a little bit difficult to understand, isn't it? What in the world is he talking about here? Because he just talked about, you'll find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for you knoweth not what evil shall be upon the earth. Now, that particular saying right there, in the Hebrew language as it was being written, and you can see this in several places throughout the Old Testament where it might talk about six and seven or three and four. But what that basically means is to give to as many as we are able to when the opportunities arrive with a cheerful heart. Okay? In other words, if he says, here, give a portion to seven and also to eight, what that actually means is that you ought to give to as many as you have the opportunity to give to. And as you have opportunity, as you have resources, now God is not asking us to give away resources that we don't have. That's foolishness if we are borrowing to give to another. But he says to take of the resources that I have blessed you with, whether it be your time, whether it be your finances, whether it be your kindness towards someone else, you are to take of that as much as you have and to give it to others in plenty. Can somebody say plenty here tonight, to this morning? Plenty. That means we're not to be stingy people with the things that God has blessed us with. Do we have any stingy people in here? Nobody's going to raise their hand, right? Have we had anybody in this place that used to be stingy? All right. I'm going to raise both my hands. But the Lord has delivered me from being stingy. And I know when I say that today, there's a lot of people that say, no way, no way. You aren't stingy. The other day, I had someone in my office, not from our church, and they'd known me for quite a while, and I mentioned to them, I said, well, one of the things I've always had to ask God for is compassion, because when I was a young man, I had no compassion. And they stood there in the office and looked at me like, you're kidding me. You're kidding me. You need to pray for compassion? I said, yes. I said, you didn't know me way back when. But God had to give me compassion. Same thing, God had to deliver my wallet. Amen? How many of you, God had to deliver your wallets? Okay? Where you surrender that to God. You see? And you know, he is talking about this, that we ought to be able and willing to give to as many as we have opportunity when that arises. But then he makes an interesting statement here, for you don't know what evil shall be upon the earth. Okay, what's he talking about here? You don't know. He's asking us to always give when we have opportunity, as much as we can with our resources, because you don't know what evil shall be upon the earth. What's he talking about? The translation is this: calamities and hard times may come in our lives. Not a one of us is exempt from that. And if I ask anybody in this room, have you ever not had hard times in your life? Would somebody raise your hand? Okay, how many of us have had hard times come up in our lives? Because you remember, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Now, so what Solomon is talking about here is, you need to be able to give out as much as you can as you have the opportunities, because you don't know when things might occur in your life. You don't know when there may be a time when you need someone else's help. You see, and this is what Solomon is saying, because there are times that will come in our lives where we are not able to give like we used to. Or maybe there is something that's taken place in our lives and, you know, we're used to being givers. And it's a wonderful thing to be a giver. But there may come a time when that something, a calamity may happen, and you may be the one that's in need, is what Solomon is saying. And he said, at that particular time, your bread will come back on the waters. What you gave out will come back, and there will be others to help you in your time of need. You see, when we've been casting our bread regularly, we can expect God to keep His word and to put it on the hearts of others to help us. Did you happen to notice in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall God cause, what? Men to give unto your bosom. Shall God cause men to give unto your bosom? Why? Because you have been giving. You have been casting your breads upon the waters. You've been constant in doing it. And then in your time of need, it will come back to you again. That's the promise of God, folks. This is what he's trying to talk about, that we need to pay particular attention to. So my question is, are we constantly casting? Are we constantly casting? Or, like Janet, one time. I gave one time, and that's it. Because that's what you will reap again. We got to keep on casting our bread upon the waters. Soon it's going to come back home on every wave. In other words, As you have opportunity, therefore let us do good to those that are in our lives, especially to the household of faith, is what the scriptures say. So, that means everybody, as you have opportunity, show it. How many of you have opportunities every day to cast your bread? Laura was telling me the other day that the Lord, she was in a place and the Lord just spoke to her that she was to do something for someone. How many of you have found somebody maybe at the grocery store? They are struggling to get something off of the shelf. What do you do? Just walk by them and say, well, I hope somebody will help them. Or will you be the one to cast your bread and say, let me help? Someone is in need. What do you say? Be fed, be warmed, and I'll pray for you. But you don't help them. You're not casting your bread at that point. You see someone that is down and out, and they're hurting. And you walk by them and say, well, what you need to do is you need to get more into the Word of God. Because if you were in the Word of God, you wouldn't be hurting like that. So deal with it. That's not casting your bread upon the waters. See, we all have things and we all have opportunities that we can help with. And we should help with. Because it's God's heart that we help with. I want to conclude with a story that is so often hard to understand, and I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 16. And it happens to deal with this entire subject that we're talking about. The book of Luke, chapter 16. And you may have heard this. It's a parable about a steward that did some things that he shouldn't have done. And I want to parallel this to what we're talking about. Chapter 16 of Luke. And he said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. So this man, this rich man, had a man working for him that was supposed to be in charge of his finances. He finds out that he is wasting his money. Probably using a lot of it for himself or whatever. And he called him and said to him, how is it that I hear this of you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I can't dig. I'm too ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do. When I am put out of this stewardship job, that they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors, and he said to the first, how much do you owe my master, my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50 on it instead of 100. What do you think of that businessman? Is he doing the right thing? And he said to another, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, take your bill and write 80 instead of 100. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Now that's interesting. The Lord, now I want you to understand that is not capital L right there. Okay? Because this is not a upright thing that this steward did. So don't go away from here saying, pastor said that it's okay to cheat and say, well, I owe this many taxes. Nope, let's cheat on it. Let's cross that out and say, let's say we only owe half of that. Pastor said. Is that what I'm saying, Bree? Thank you. All right. No, that's not right. It isn't right what he did. But that guy that fired him, that Lord that fired him, said to him, I commend you, buddy. not because of your unjustness and your cheating, but I commend you because of the way that you thought. The way that you thought is that I need to do something to guarantee that I'm going to have money coming in after I get fired from this job. And what he did was he went to those creditors and cut their bill, and then he went back to them after he gets fired and says, hey, how about a job? You know, look what I did for you, right? And so the master, that the one that fired him, said, man, I commend you for that because you were thinking ahead. Everybody understand that? Okay? That's what this is about. You were thinking ahead. Now look at this. And this is Jesus talking here. He says, for the children of this world and their generation are wiser than the children of light. That's not a good thing that Jesus was saying. He was saying, listen, my children need to use a little bit more wisdom, almost in the same fashion as this man did, because he was thinking ahead of what was to come. And what happens is that Jesus is saying, my children, my people are not thinking ahead. They're not thinking ahead. All they're thinking about is today and myself. When the wise steward would think ahead and say, I need to be casting my bread at every opportunity that I have because I know that the Word of God says that it will come back to me, Lee. You understand this? You understand what he's trying to say in this principle here? In this parable, and he says, I say unto you, make yourselves friends of mammon, of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is just in much. Okay? Now, the whole thing about it right here that Jesus was not trying to say to make friends with mammon, he wasn't trying to say love money, because that goes against everything that Jesus tried to teach. But he says, make friends with, in other words, take the finances that you have and invest them into people. Invest them constantly into people, because you do not know when that return may come. You do not know when it may come. And so use wisdom is what he is saying here. Use wisdom. As we close this morning, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. What was Jesus trying to say in that parable? Don't be so short-sighted that this life is the only thing that you're thinking about. It doesn't matter whether we live 120 years. What is that, Joyce? Nothing. Life is but a vapor. But what we ought to be paying attention to is what is to come. And what we are investing in here now determines what is in the future. And that's what that parable was all about. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust is corrupt, and where thieves don't break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We have to keep on casting. It needs to be our lifestyle of who we are as believers. Constantly giving out, constantly blessing, constantly helping meet needs. And when we do that, the Word of God will not return void. Where your heart is, there's your treasure. And when you are giving on this earth, what are you actually doing, Sheila? Laying up treasures in heaven. We're going to continue this next week, part two of Keep On Casting. It's going to get really interesting next week as well, so show up, Okay? Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for your word today. We give you thanks for all that you have been teaching us, Lord, and that your heart is that we don't stop, that we be givers at heart, because that was your heart. And so, Father, help us to continue to do that, continue to keep on casting. We know your word is true, and we thank you for that, Lord. Give us the wisdom. Give us that wisdom that is even smarter than the world to know what we ought to invest in, God, the kingdom of God and people. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name, God's people said. Amen and amen this morning.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.